With rumors swirling that China could begin easing its zero COVID strategy, Hong Kong tells Wall Street now is the time to invest. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Hong Kong has rolled out the red carpet this week for top executives of Wall Street titans, including Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, BlackRock, and JP Morgan. They are all gathering at the Four Seasons Hotel for a summit designed to prove the once vibrant Asian financial center is back in business. Opening the conference, Hong Kong's new leader, John Lee, said Hong Kong's reputation as a haven for stability and profitability has been undermined in recent years, both by the pandemic and a crackdown 2 years ago against anti-government protesters. But those clouds, he says, are fading.
Hong Kong has been through ups and downs over the years, but our resilience remains remarkably unmatched. Our financial system has never buckled, never wavered. Like Hong Kong itself, it remains strong, sure, and enviably secure.
So can he persuade those Wall Street titans? Well, Dr. Vera Yoon is an economics lecturer at Hong Kong University's Business School. She explains how businesses balance the risk of heavy-handed action from Beijing with opportunity to access a lucrative market.
Our stock market plummeted by half compared with last year's peak. And then there's a lot of regulations in different sectors. Banks and these kind of operations, they can downsize and upsize pretty gradually. They can set it up within a year. And if there are not much business, they can focus on the other parts of Asia and do it later in Hong Kong before the market becomes better.
What is the business mood in Hong Kong like at the moment? When COVID first started, when the pandemic first started, it was right after the series of pro-democracy protests. And so the mood was fairly somber.
Well, I would say the economic outlook is gloomy for this year. Last year, it was actually better because China has stringent zero COVID policy and that allows the manufacturing sector to continue, even though the rest of the world was ridden by COVID. So we have more exports and imports through Hong Kong, and we actually rebound last year by 6.3%. But this year, quarter three, we have negative 4.5% in GDP. And we also have negative numbers in quarter one and quarter two. So if we have three quarters negative GDP growth, I don't think by the end of the year, we would have a very good number. The rising and the strength of the US dollar, which Hong Kong dollar pegged with, makes our currency more expensive. And it's also bad for our exports. Overall, more stores, you know, retailers, you know, they're closing. Even for commercial buildings, they have higher vacancy rates than before. So while the rest of the world is opening up and welcoming more business, relative to them, we are losing our vibrancy. So this year is not a very good year for Hong Kong.
So when it comes to the increased competition from places like Singapore, how big of a concern do you think that is?
I think the concern would be more on talent. Because now they just announced the policy address and the major focus would be talent acquisition as more people left Hong Kong and they are the educated ones and also the younger ones. And the government official admitted this. But then they don't really have policies to retain these Hong Kong people. Instead, they want to attract global talents to come to Hong Kong. But given what I saw in the policy address, I would say at the end of the day, it would be the majority would be from the mainland China. And I would say the mainland China and Hong Kong, we have pretty different practices at work. So I would say, would this change the institution? The government also has to focus on labor demand. That is, you need to have good jobs for people. You need to have good companies, you know, a cluster of them to set up in Hong Kong and to stay in Hong Kong so that they would have job positions that could attract these kind of talents. If not, they will not come to a place that has nothing and waste their time because for talents, their opportunity cost is very high. They would rather, you know, go to other places, I don't know, New York, Tokyo, maybe Singapore, and not to stay in Hong Kong. So I think they sense that kind of regional competition. They're official line would be to leverage on, you know, China's opportunities, you know, the support from mainland China in order to outcompete the others.
Dr. Vera Yoon, economics lecturer at Hong Kong University's Business School. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, Hong Kong's Hang Seng continued to post solid gains of 2.4% today. That's alongside a 1% rise in the Shanghai Composite Index. It was a shortened trading day, though, in Hong Kong as markets closed early due to a severe tropical storm nearing the city. Elsewhere, stock benchmarks across Europe are mixed this morning. There are increasing expectations for less aggressive rate rises from the Fed after today's anticipated 0.75% rise. The global market for hair extensions and wigs is worth more than $6 billion, and it's expected to more than double over the next 4 years. But often that hair is made of non-biodegradable plastic fibers that fill landfills or clog waterways. Combating plastic waste, we know, is one of the key challenges in fighting climate change. So the big question facing this booming market is, can synthetic hair be made in a more sustainable way? The BBC's Eunice Getonia headed to Kampala, Uganda's capital, where demand is growing fast.
As suppliers stock shops, the salons pack with women getting the latest weaving and braiding styles. Brenda Namara is a hairdresser in Kampala.
We mostly lean towards the synthetic hair because it's much more affordable, more available.
China is the largest exporter of synthetic hair at almost $2 billion a year globally. According to the Observatory of Economic Complexity, between 2019 and 2020, the fastest growing importers of synthetic hair in Africa were Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa and Uganda.
I'm here at the Dandora dump site, one of Africa's largest landfill sites. 1,500 tons of waste arrives here every day. And that includes synthetic hair from hundreds of salons across Nairobi. There's a thick, dark cloud of smoke behind me. That's the waste being burned. Climate experts say they're concerned about harmful chemicals being released into the atmosphere and say those working in the hair and beauty industry, as well as their customers, may not be aware of the damage that comes from dumping their hair waste.
But there are some ways of tackling the problem. In Nairobi, Ayan Wanjiko is among a group of women who are going through garbage bags to look for discarded hair extensions, which they will wash and sell on.
I make about $30 every month from selling this hair that I collect in the dump site. I have children who I clothe, feed and educate through this hair.
But eventually it will end up back in the landfill. So, is there a way to make it even more sustainable? In Uganda, Julia Tusime makes hair extensions from banana fibers.
Using these organic stems gives us a product that is biodegradable. When you expose it to conditions that allow it to rot, it will rot.
Although the banana fiber hair is expensive, Juliet says she hopes it will at least make more people aware of the problem with single-use synthetic hair, and that more awareness will mean more sustainable use of this beauty staple.
That's the BBC's Eunice Getonia reporting from Uganda there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.